Hello, this is Elvira, and I welcome you to The Fruit Factory. The Fruit Factory is a prophecy and teaching ministry that is helmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We are a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. It is time for harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet. And only the fruitful will make it. When I'm talking about true Israel, I'm not talking about the current nation that we know as Israel. That nation, the Lord calls it vacant land. Yes, to God, that land is vacant, and they will die. They will be overcome by a lot of war, of death, and there will be no more. And you can hear more about that in the prophecy titled The Journey to the Land of Milk and Honey. The Israel that is being spoken of here in this ministry and in everywhere you will see Israel written, it is the Israel of the Bible, the ones who were scattered all around the nations and who are still scattered till this day, but the season and the generation that is supposed to be regathered and be returned to the land that was promised to Abraham is our generation. So I am here as a trumpet call to both Israel and the church, because it is both that will be returned, the church of quote Gentiles end quote, will be grafted and attached to Israel, and those whom the Lord calls the lovers of God, right? Those are the ones who will make it back to the land of the promise. And so, with that little disclaimer out of the way, I would like to invite you to go to our website, thefruitfactory.co, to read the different prophecies that have been published and proclaimed by the Lord himself, because sometimes it takes time for them to be published in broadcast format, but you need to be keeping up with what the Lord is saying. And also, there is something that happens when you read the words that the Lord have spoken compared to just listening to them. There is a different kind of fellowship, there is a different kind of intimacy that happens with the written word. And if you are someone who reads, who likes to read, and you will understand what I am talking about. It is one thing to listen to something, but it's another to just bury yourself in the pages. It is another kind of experience altogether, and the Lord encourages that. So please do go and have a look, even if it is just once a week, that you will take an hour also out of your week to go and be reading the different prophecies, the different words that Yah is speaking through this ministry. Now, today's prophecy is Yah taking us into the future. Well, all of prophecy is in the future, but this is the future, okay? When we would have stood the test of the tribulation and we would have been regathered to him, to the nation, to his holy nation. And this is an insight into what life will be like there on the regathered land, in the land of milk and honey, what it will be like whilst we are regathered to the land and we dwell there with the Lord as our King and our Father. Just like he said in the beginning, they will be my people and I will be their God. So the Lord has given me a series of revelations on August 2nd, 2024 about what it will be like. So these are prophecies for after the regathering. And so this is one of them. There are two other prophecies that he gave me on that same day that I'm going to do my best to publish here on broadcast today. And there have been others ever since, which you will see and we will all discuss here in due time. Now, this prophecy is titled the Lord disciples the one, the Lord disciplines the one he loves. So this was a vision that I received whilst I was at a prayer camp. It was a prayer camp, and I was with different groups of people from different nations, and we were praying 10 hours a day for 10 days. And whilst I was in the church building where this was happening, the Lord told me that he had something to show me. And usually when the Lord tells me this in advance, it means that it will not be an open-eyed vision, but that I must be still and focused to be able to see with clarity what it is that he wants me to see. So I sat down and I bent forward, pressing my upper body against my thighs. You know when you're bending on your laps, right? And then I bowed my head down and I closed my eyes and I waited upon the Lord for him to show me what he wanted me to see. And so when I did that, this was during the prayer service. So people were praying around me and the Lord told me, I have something to show you. So I put myself in that posture and I waited upon him. But everyone that was around kept on praying. And so there was one woman who was just a row behind me on my left side. She was praying so extremely passionately that she began to shout. She began to scream. She was praying in tongues and she began to scream. When I say scream, when I say shout, I mean she was screaming these prayers with no restraint whatsoever. And it is while she was doing this that, even though my physical ears could hear her, my spiritual state, like the Lord brought me into a spiritual state where I was fully conscious but fully also seeing in the spirit. I was kind of sucked into the vision, right? Because my eyes were closed and I was in that posture. So the vision began. And in this vision, I saw that I was in a temple. I was in a temple. I was with different people. The temple was full of different people with, you know, of different races, of different ages, different sexes. And I was one of them standing in that temple. And in the temple, I was standing on my feet and I had my hands lifted up to the Lord. And the Lord gave me knowledge in my spirit as I was watching this scene that this is his temple of Jerusalem, or in Jerusalem, the temple that will be in Jerusalem. However, the way that the temple was presented to me in this vision was not in the final, you know, the finalized, the official appearance of what the Lord will make his temple to look like. It was just a representation of that temple. But I was in Jerusalem, in the temple of the Lord in that moment. So we were deeply engaged in praising Yah and we were praying to him very much the way that I had been in the physical realm, right? Because we were doing 10 hours of prayer and between the prayers we would worship and so forth. So it was a bit of the same environment. And amid this praise and prayer, a woman behind me, similarly to how it happened in the physical realm, a woman behind me in this vision broke out in tongues in the middle of the assembly. And similarly to that woman, she began screaming prayers to the Lord in tongues. She was screaming. And what became very interesting is that I realized that it was the same voice that I could capture, right, in the spirit, in the scene in Jerusalem, okay? This woman in Jerusalem in the scene was screaming in the same way like the woman who was in the physical location where I had been praying. They were speaking the same words. They were screaming in the same manner. They had the same voice. They were uttering the same things out of their mouths. But the difference is that I could hear the one in the physical location where I was bent, you know, on my knees and closing my eyes and having this vision, my physical ears could hear that woman because I was fully conscious. And in the vision, I could also hear that woman's voice raising up prayers to the Lord. You understand? It was spectacular. It was inexplicable and it was very memorable. And I was thinking, how is this possible? How is this woman's prayers in my vision? And this was not the first vision I was having in that space. And you'll hear me in certain visions, in certain prophecies that I've probably shared, I've mentioned the fact that I had been at a prayer camp and I received this prophecy there. You can imagine being in 10 hours of prayer and worship for 10 days. This opens the heavens over you. It is an extremely intense state to be in. And so the Lord was downloading so much information. I could barely keep up with it. And it's been many weeks since it's ended and I've still not published half of them. So this was a unique experience. I had never experienced it before. I've had situations where I am in the physical realm and I'm looking at something and the Lord opens up my spiritual eyes to see what is hidden in the spirit behind that thing, or opens my ears to hear what someone is saying without them having to open their mouth and say it to me so that I will know what is truly going on in this situation. But it was never, ever something like this, that someone, basically what the Lord did in this vision is that He used this woman's fellowship with him, the woman who was in a physical location, right? She was so high. You see, when you're in that state, you are in a spiritual state, right? It is your spirit that is praying at this point. So the Holy Spirit is the one that is praying through you. And you are being brought up, you know, up the hill of the Lord. Essentially, you are mounting that hill. Right. And so the Lord used that woman's fellowship with him in the spirit through her tongues. He used that to orchestrate a kind of experience that was just, it was one of a kind. Okay. And this is relevant because that is not where the vision ended. So this woman started speaking in the same way, shouting, screaming in the same way. And as I'm speaking these words, as I'm narrating it back to you right now, I can still hear her voice resound in my left ear. That is how loudly she was praying. And the entire atmosphere has changed. This is in the temple. In the temple in Jerusalem, when she began praying that way and she was raising up those prayers and she was unapologetic about it, she was screaming her life, excuse me, she was screaming her life out to the Lord, and it shifted the atmosphere of the temple. It kind of brought other people who were around her also into this shameless praise, shameless prayer to God. So people also began praying louder and louder. They began singing louder and louder. We were all ascending in the spirit. It was indescribable. That's the only thing I can say. It was an experience that as I was watching it, I was thinking, wow, this must have been what the scripture in Acts that said that they were all one, you know, when the disciples in the church back then operated as one mind, they were of one mind. I just felt in my spirit that this is what it must have been like back then. And as this was happening, it seems as if my point of view in the vision changed. Right. So I could still see myself. I could still see myself standing there praying to the Lord. But my eyes were simultaneously patrolling the temple in other sections of the temple. So I was looking from bench to bench. I was observing people pray and worship the Lord. And it's almost like the Lord's eyes, right, as he was observing, what was going on all around, he put me in his eyes for a second that I could also walk through the room as he was walking through the room, right? And then this, it, we arrived at a certain spot where there were a group of young girls who were whispering things in each other's ears. They were mocking that woman who was praying loudly in our midst. Yes, it's true that her voice was resounding throughout the temple. But these little girls, instead of doing what the others were doing, that the others were brought up also in the spirit, these young girls began to mock. These young girls found the woman ridiculous. So they were whispering, laughing, looking at the woman and then laughing again. They found that unrestrained expression of prayer to the Lord ridiculous and laughable. And as soon as they began to do that, they were called out by Yah himself. In this vision, the presence of the Lord was at the front center of the temple on the altar. So the altar was not a flat platform where pastors stood to preach the way that we know the altar to be today. But the altar was the presence of God himself. And the way that he was represented in the altar was a light. So there was a kind of gleaming light right there at the center of the altar. So the altar was God. So if there was a way for me to explain it, the way that I would explain it is the Lord did not call them out, but the altar summoned them, calling them by name. And we all in the temple heard it happen. Ask them to come forward, call them out by name and ask them to come forward to the altar. And we all heard it. And as he was doing that, everything stopped, right, in the room. The praise and the prayer, everyone stood still, and the assembly was just watching what was going on. And the Lord began scolding them about their mockery. And we were all listening to what was going on. We heard him scold them. And he told them about the mocking tongue and how it is not the right thing to do. And he said that they think that they mocked that woman, but they were mocking him. And so they were commanded to get on their knees and repent immediately, or else that would call for judgment. And the girls hurried and fell to their knees and bowed before the Lord's altar, and they began to confess and repent of their sins. And this is where, excuse me, I've been having a little thing in my throat these days. And this is where the vision ended. And when I opened my book, my eyes, and I pulled out my notebook to write down what I had just seen, that blessed woman behind me was still praying her loud prayers in tongue that my left ear still remembers till this day and will probably never forget. So the banner for this scripture that the Lord gave me was Ezekiel 36, verses 33 to 36. Give me a second. Please forgive if there is some background noise. I have to go through this broadcast and I've been waiting for things to be completely silent to do it, and it has not worked out until now, and I cannot keep postponing it. So please just ignore the background. Thank you. Ezekiel 36 verses 33 to 36 states the following. Thus says the Lord, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, This land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. So the Lord, in his love and in his nature, because he always does this, he proclaims things in advance before they come to pass, so that when they come to pass, we will know that it is him, Yah, who did it. So he's doing that with this vision. He's giving us insight into what our lives with him as our God and us as his people in the restored Israel will look like. The desolation will come to an end. The barren land will be no more. And the nations of the earth will know that this is what the Lord has done. So this is not going to be some spiritual experience. It is not going to be coming after he returns and, you know, the new Jerusalem is returned and the final judgment and whatnot. No. It is happening in this age. It is happening in this age, not in the everlasting age to come. In this age, it is happening. And so, the Lord in his love is doing this for us, that we can sit and already see the future before it comes. And he's fond of that, isn't he? Because he's the one who sets the end from the beginning. He puts the end in place and then rolls it back up. And then us human beings, we will live through the different stages to get to that end. But the end is already set. And the end was set before he began this plan of with man. His end was already determined. We are only living through the different stages, the different seasons, and the different times that will bring us to that end. From the beginning, His objective was to do what he had done with Adam, walk and talk with man in oneness, in fellowship, and that is what will happen. And so if the Lord is showing us this, like this, right now, you see that there are young girls who are stepping away from the path of righteousness here. So this is not heaven. I cannot emphasize this enough. It is not heaven. This is what we will be living through here before we are restored to our eternal glory with Christ. Because in that eternal glory with Christ, there will be no more sin. There will be no more, because the sinful, you know, Satan, all of that, they will be thrown in the lake of fire. So it is going to happen in different steps. And then there is a period of the millennium. The Lord has not revealed anything to me about the millennium yet. And when he does, when he provides and if he decides to provide, because it is his freedom, he's free to provide it or not. When he does that, then, and he asks me to proclaim it here, I will do so. So what will happen is, the desolation will come to an end. The barren land will be no more. And the nations of the earth will know that this is what the Lord has done. As he cleanses us of our sins and resettles us in our towns, we will be completely reconciled to him. The scripture speaks about being restored to the Garden of Eden, which is the place where God and man were one. It is the place where God and man were in perfect sync and fellowship with each other. And this is exactly what I observed in this vision. We were spending time in the Lord's temple in praise and worship, which was pure and pleasing to him. And as we prayed in that large assembly, Yah was exalted and magnified. There was no conflict between the people. On the contrary, there was an atmosphere of oneness and peace in the presence of the Lord. This is what awaits those who will endure and prove worthy of Jesus Christ. The Lord will surely fulfill his word when he says that we will be his people and he will be our God, and that Israel will be like Eden. Just like we read that God walked and talked to Adam in the cool of the day in the garden, in this vision, the Lord's very presence, his being, was in the temple with us. He addressed us directly, and we could all hear him, from the youngest to the oldest. No longer will the Lord be far away from us in a way that we will struggle to reach him, but he will be living among us. He will be our Father, the Father who disciplines those whom he loves, as he disciplined those little girls in the temple. It is clear from the vision that these girls were much younger than the rest of the people in the temple. They were in their early teens. These were children who were still at an age where they were learning Yah's ways. He saw them drifting away into sin and brought them back to righteousness immediately then and there. And they reacted to it with humility and sincerity by falling prostrate before him and repenting. So there was no rebellion in these children. They felt bad for their deeds and realized their mistake. They reacted to the Father's discipline and embraced it as love. And this is what we can expect from the coming Israel that the Lord promised. And the Lord has talked about this in so many different scriptures, that I will remove from you the proud, I will remove from you the hard-necked, you know, the arrogant and the haughty, and you will love me. Those who love me will make it, and you will be submitted to me, and you and I will be one. I will be your Father, I will be your God, and you will be my people. That the ones who will remain will be meek and humble. And this is what I observed from the reaction of these children. These were kids, they were teenage girls who apparently did not know better. And when they were brought back to the path of righteousness, they reacted in humility and meekness before the Lord. Another thing that this prophecy reminds us of is that the Lord hates the mocking tongue. He hates it, especially when it is aimed at one of his servants. You all who like to look at God's messengers and mock them. When you look at God's true servants, his teachers and pastors, and belittle them in your comments and conversations, maybe online or offline, you better act like these young girls had the wisdom to act and immediately repent of your sin. If you are accustomed to mocking people whom you perceive as lower than you, or any person for any reason, really, for any reason, if you look at people and mock them, if you look at people and you feel superior to them, if you look at people and we throw a joke and we'll make fun of them, and Yah hates that kind of behavior. He hates the mocking tongue. He hates it. He truly does. You need to repent. And right now, the same way that he did to those little girls, he is summoning you to the altar to give an account. And you better do so and repent before he applies the judgment for your sin upon you, allowing Satan to strike you. There is nothing worse than being sinful and then being arrogant about it. You're worsening your case. And we are in a time of tribulation. We are in a time of the Lord's wrath. You cannot afford to be living in sin, because this is the time of the judgment of the earth. You do not know from which side it will come. You cannot afford to drink of the cups of the Lord's cup of wrath, his bowl of wrath. In the end times, read Isaiah 24. Read Revelation, the whole of Revelation. If you've been listening to this and you've still not gone back to your Bible to reread Revelation, I don't know what to tell you. You cannot be playing with sin in these end times. It is going to cost you your life. The things you've been doing so far and getting away with, we've entered a time where you will stop getting away with that stuff. Because the Lord is sifting the earth. He is judging the earth. It is not because you say with your mouth that I am a Christian, but you do not practice it. It's not proclaiming it with your mouth that is going to make you blameless. What makes you blameless is applying the blood of Jesus Christ as atonement for your sin. That is what makes you blameless. And proclaiming with your mouth is what gives you the jurisdiction to apply the blood of Christ. What gives you the right to say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins, is that you proclaim with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sin and rose again, and that through that you have been saved, right? But then you have to practice what is called repentance. And repentance is that which atones for sin. So you can live your entire life as a sinful person who will get the wrath of God poured in overflow into their lives, because you never repent of your deeds. You never do. You go to church, you go up and down, but you live a sinful life and you don't repent. That is what is going to cost your life. I'm not even kidding. Have you not noticed that people have been dying more and more without a true reason behind it? We are in the end times. We have walked through the doors of the tribulation, and it's going to look more and more like what you can read in the book of Revelation, what you can read in the book of Ezekiel, part of Ezekiel, Daniel 12, in Matthew 24. These places that have talked about, book of Isaiah, Isaiah 24. These places that have talked about the Lord's wrath, they are going to be more and more present. This is transforming. Our reality is transforming into that. You cannot afford to not repent. I'm telling you. Morning prayer, put repentance in there. Your evening prayer, add repentance. The Lord's Prayer told us, gave us the blueprint. He gives us the different stages through which we must go as we pray to Him. And one of the stages is, Lord, forgive me my debts, as I forgive those who also have transgressions against me. So if you're not forgiving others, first of all, if you're not forgiving others, you will not be forgiven. So those of you who are bitter and who hold grudges, you are destroying yourselves. You know, one day I was laying down, I was just in meditation before bed, before falling asleep. And I was just thinking about, you know, the things that have happened and the separation that I have gone through from my family, from my friends and so forth. And then I thought about this aspect of holding a grudge, because there are lots of people who, in this process throughout my journey with the Lord, ever since I got my call, harmed me without, or tried to, because the Lord never allowed it, tried to harm me without me ever doing anything to them, without me even really knowing them like we are close. No. And then I thought about the effect that it would have if I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my heart to enable me to forgive and still pray for them. And I was like, that would be tragic. It would be tragic because I would not really have a relationship with God. If you're bitter, right? If there is someone you're still holding a grudge against in your heart, that relationship that you think you have with Christ is not really it. I'm just going to tell you that. Because the Holy Spirit cannot express Himself inside of you if you are bitter, if you're unforgiving, you are blocking access. Christ cannot operate in a bitter vessel. So you're calling yourself a Christian, you are reading your Bible, you are praying and all of that, but you have not learned to forgive. Everything you're doing is almost like you're pouring it right down into a hole. It is evaporating. It is not yielding fruit, because all the bitterness and the anger inside of you is eating up every spiritual effort, every spiritual price you are paying in your relationship with Christ is being absorbed by bitterness. That is why the Lord said that if you're coming, you're about to come to deposit your sacrifice, and you remember that there are certain matters that you've not settled with your brother or your sister. He said, he didn't say, come and give the sacrifice and then we'll discuss it. He said, put down the sacrifice and first go and solve whatever you have going on. And then come, and then maybe, then I can receive your sacrifice. So you're praying, but you're bitter. Your prayers are not reaching heaven. The Lord is not receiving it in his ear because you have blocked your own prayer life with your bitterness. I'm just telling you the truth. Any bitterness you have in you, you are harming yourself. You are cutting yourself off from Jesus. You are withholding, you are blocking your own prayers. So if there is anything, just pray to the Lord. Stop praying about everything you've been praying about. And start praying about, Lord, please help me forgive. Remove the bitterness from me. Remove the anger from me. Because anything you are operating with, anything you're doing in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, you have bitterness in you, it is getting leaked. You're leaking. Anything you're doing is being thrown into the trash. It's not getting to the destination. Because you have blocked your access. You've blocked your communication canal with Christ because of your bitterness. That is why he said, put down whatever you want you're bringing me. Even your tithing. Even your whatever it is that you're doing. You're giving, you're serving in the church and whatnot. It is getting swallowed up by the unforgiveness, the anger, and the bitterness inside of you. So, it is the reaction of these little girls. That is the kind of meekness and humility of God's people before him. It is that which will give birth to the scripture that the Lord gave to this in this prophecy. The scripture we just read, that the land will be restored and there will be peace and so forth. It is because we will be in his image, striving to be in his image every day and have that humility before him to repent, to lower ourselves before him, to seek him and to submit to him. That is what will give birth to that oneness. That is what will give birth to the spiritual experience that the Lord showed me in that temple. So, in such oneness with God, not worthy, is such oneness with God not worthy of you paying the type of price that Matthew 10 talks about? Can you imagine we can be in a place where we go to church, or church, we go to the temple, and we are not going to the temple to listen to a man preach. We are going to the temple to actually be in the presence of God. Can you imagine that? Isn't all of that persecution and the testing and so forth, isn't it worth it? To me, it is worth it. That you will not have to sit and pray in your bedroom and hope that, oh Lord, I hope you're hearing me. It won't be that. You can pick up your legs and go to the temple. He is right there. Can you believe it? My goodness. To me, it is completely worth it, okay? I will pay that price. I will pay it. The walk in holiness, the righteous life, the price of submission to God, even if the entire world hates me for it, let them hate me. I'm willing to pay that price. Because what the Lord showed me was something that I hope that you will capture the essence of the purity of that experience. And even the mistake that the young girls did, the way that it was dealt with, the intimacy that he called them like a father. He said, come up here. And then he talked to them. Like, you're mocking. Why are you mocking me? You shouldn't do this and so forth. Like when you're a child and your father tells you, you didn't clean your room. You know what I mean? It's that type of relationship, that type of fellowship, that type of intimacy. To me, it is worth all of the persecution in the world. And this generation, if we stand till the end, some of us will actually live that. That is what I've been sent to proclaim as a messenger of God. And I hope that you'll receive this by the Spirit. And I hope that as you've listened to this, maybe the Lord will give you your own encounter, a vision, you know, to confirm what you've heard here. So, this is the end of this vision. It is the first of three visions that the Lord gave me on that day, and I will record to the others as their own broadcasts, just like I have published them as separate prophecies on the blog, and the Lord also gave them to me as separate prophecies, different prophecies, even though they are all about the same theme of life in the new restored Israel. I invite you to subscribe to the Fruitful Report, which is a platform, a newsletter with which every Tuesday you will receive an email of a report of all of the prophecies that were published the week before. And with these prophecies or with this email, you'll be able to keep up with what the Lord is saying, making sure that you miss nothing, because everything that the Lord is saying, you have to know it. And in many of these prophecies, there are instructions that come with it from the Lord, and you do not want to miss those instructions because they are matters of life or death. For example, the prophecy titled 1984 is a very good example of that. So you receive it once a week, nothing more, no random emails, no daily devotional, no Bible verses. I will not even have the time to do that. So no advertising, no sharing of your data, no personal private emails, no none of the extra stuff. Just once a week, a report. That's all. So to subscribe to that, you can go to thefruitfactory.co/report. thefruitfactory.co/report. And if you'd like to support this ministry or give to God your tithes or your offerings through this ministry, you are welcome to do so, and it is appreciated. You will find the link to the giving in the description bar, or you can go to thefruitfactory.co/giving. thefruitfactory.co/giving. Any credit card will work, any Apple Pay, GPay, and PayPal also does work with that. And you can also give anonymously if that is what you prefer. There is that option. So thank you for listening to today's broadcast. And once more, I am Elvira, the Lord's servant for this work at the Fruit Factory, which is a call to true Israel and the end times church, that we must know that the time of harvest is here and the Lord is sounding the trumpet. Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet that the harvest is here, and only those who have borne him good fruit that will stand the test with fire will make it in the end. So thank you, and I will speak to you in the next broadcast. Goodbye.